Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. 25 more minutes, 24 and a half, actually, of this show. Thank you for listening to American Family Radio. If you want to send us an email, comments@AFR.net is the address. Comments@AFR.net. Comments@AFR.net. Tim, Fred, and Fred's gone. Fred's in Nova Scotia.
Fred's helping with the search of the sub, I think.
Well, Fred's hails from
Nova
Scotia. And Ed Vitagliano is with me, Steve Jordahl, and Ray Pritchard. And we thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Where are you in the Bible now? Your Bible reading, we're closing in on halfway through the year, Bray.
Today, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 8, 9, and 10.
Wow.
The story of the dedication of the temple. And, of course, that famous verse we quote all the time, if my people were called by my name, humble themselves and pray. It's in the Bible reading for today. So, folks, you've heard us talk about it, and you've been thinking, I'd like to read the Bible. Well, hop on board. Get on the Bible bus. We are stopping today in 2 Chronicles. We're just moving right on through. You can join us. Go to keepbelieving.com. We post a new video every morning, 7 a.m. So join us. As Tim said, we are almost halfway through the Bible.
Where do they go to join you?
Keep Believing. Just go to keepbelieving.com, and you'll see it right there on the front page, the video that you can watch. It's right there. Just keepbelieving.com. You don't need anything else.
I hope you change up your outfit every day, Ray.
Oh, I try to. Okay. Because if I wear the same shirt 2 days in a row, people make comments on it. And they let me know which shirts they like. I have this orange plaid shirt. Every time I wear it, I get a lot of comments.
I can't imagine someone commenting on the shirt you would wear.
poor Steve. Hey, poor Paisley. Steve Paisley Jordahl.
At that point, you got to say, ladies and gentlemen, I think you're missing the point of why we're doing this.
Well, that's right.
So, Ray, if you're working ahead a day and you have to do two in one day, do you do like a game show host and go back to your room and change shirts so that
I
you have
a
different
stack,
shirt?
I got a little trouble with my wife about this because she came in a few weeks ago. And it looked like my office looked like a college dormitory. I had about 6 shirts in a pile, just thrown down in a pile by my desk. I would take one off and put the next one on.
That's funny.
Hey, I do, before we get started on serious news, I do want to mention before the break, I did mention that bacon was under attack. Can I go with that?
Yeah, oh, please. No, come on.
Yeah,
well,
we need a breaking news.
Oh, do you have that?
No, yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
This is breaking news. It should be more important than anything else we do today. So I want to scrap the whole rest of the program.
All right.
And announce that
there's a real threat here, folks.
There is. This is in Atlanta. And a group called Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine is taking umbrage and criticizing a minor league baseball team in Macon, Georgia, called the Macon Bacon. That's the name of the team. And the Physicians Committee on Responsible Medicine says Macon Bacon's glorification of bacon, which, by the way, should not be a sin.
That's right.
A processed meat that raises the risk of cholesterol, cancer, and other diseases says the wrong message to fans. I urge you to update the team's name to Macon Fakin' Bacon and promote plant-based bacon alternatives.
Such as Fakin' Bacon or mushroom bacon.
That's right.
Right, I can't tell you how much I'm against that. With all my heart and soul.
That's right.
A lot of stuff to talk about today. That's probably the most important.
Well, that's the number one issue why I can never convert to Judaism.
Because of the ban on...
You can't give up the bacon.
Pork in general.
Well, you got a point.
Huh?
You got a point.
You know, and in all seriousness, there is no seriousness to this story.
No.
But bacon... Making bacon. Now, who's going after this minor league baseball team?
It's called the Physicians Committee on Responsible Medicine. It's a group that that pushes.
You know what I would say to them?
Fake meat.
You know what I would say to this group?
What?
Mind your own business. Huh?
There comes a time when you should just butt out.
Yeah. Stay out.
Yeah.
Find something else to do. Don't take on bacon. That's like taking on mom and apple pie and Chevrolet.
Yeah.
Baseball.
Yeah.
It's wrong.
And
it's
wrong.
Just
and
wrong.
Meatballs, Tim. That's it's like
you,
taking
it, everybody in the universe knows it's wrong.
It's
except
just
for
wrong.
Maybe a handful of people. What did you say about meatballs?
No, first of all, you were the first one to bring up meatballs. I was just talking about things that we should not be against, and I just
I agree completely. Meatballs, love me some meatballs too.
Hey, I also do want to let our listeners know that tonight on the Laura Ingraham Show on Fox News. I know Fox News is not everybody's favorite if you're conservative right now
nowadays, yeah.
But our own Abraham Hamilton III will be on one of the segments on Laura Ingraham, her show, which is I think 10 o'clock Eastern and 9 o'clock Central Time. So check it out. You may have to wait for his segment. We're not sure at what time exactly he'll be on, but it'll be on Laura Ingraham tonight. We want
Abraham Hamilton III, our own here. He'll do a great job. I know the topic will be education, and he's going to be on tonight on the Laura Ingraham Show on Fox News. You're listening to today's issues on American Family Radio. Steve, something else happening?
Yeah, we got some breaking news. We don't know a whole lot about it, so we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on it. But according to the U.S. Coast Guard, they have found a debris field within their search area for this missing sub. Now, we don't know that it is the sub. The speculation is that it could be the sub. If it is, frankly, I think that might be a blessing. If the sub came apart quickly and the people perished, it'd be better to do it that way than to slowly have to die because of lack of oxygen. But they don't know, so we're not saying it is the sub, but that's the announcement, that they have found a debris field. So we will keep an eye on that.
We're seeing a video on Fox News from St. John's, Canada. Is that the area where Fred is from?
Is that
Nova Scotia?
I think it is. Let me look.
I know you got Halifax there, right?
Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Isn't that the largest city in Nova Scotia? I think St. John's is a port there, if I'm not mistaken, which is where a lot of the some of the assistance is coming from, going out into the Atlantic to try to rescue these people, find them who are in the submarine, not the submarine, sub, whatever it's called, sub. St. John's, I'm just curious.
St. John's is in New Brunswick, which is across the bay from Nova Scotia.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
And we've insulted all our Canadian listeners because we don't know our Canadian geography.
The good thing is Canadians are nice people, and they don't get insulted very easily.
That's right.
If they do, they don't say anything.
That's one of those things. I did know all my Canadian geography when I was in school, but that is a long time ago. So I've forgotten a lot of that.
If you don't study that and review it every year.
Yeah.
You forget your Canadian geography.
On the other hand, the geography probably doesn't change a whole lot. So no, like you got to keep up.
Well, but it's just a matter of the hard drive being full, Steve. And and there's important stuff that has to stay up there, like
hockey,
like the hockey lineup for my favorite team, the
Boston Bruins.
And there's just not room for Canadian geography.
John Durham was talking about your hard drive that it has been erased. Yesterday in Congress,
every one of us will have our hard drive erased, and you better be ready for that day.
A new operating system is coming down right now.
That's right.
All right, I'm sorry, I took us off.
Ray, any comments on decluttering your mind?
My mind is so my mind is so completely cluttered. I need some decluttering.
defrag
that computer. I need to be defragged.
All right, Steve, next story.
All right, there's an argument going on now, surprisingly, in the Republican presidential contest between Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis. I have some sound here. Well, this is an argument about the response to COVID in Florida. Now, at every turn, we have seen President Trump kind of take on Ron DeSantis and say things about him, which may or may not be true, but they're certainly political and they're not very nice. I want you to hear, this is President Trump saying that Ron DeSantis mishandled the COVID narrative and the COVID crisis in Florida. And then Ron DeSantis, he's not specifically answering to Trump as in This is what Trump said, and I disagree. But he is saying what he did proactively in Florida. So let's listen to Cut 10.
People forget that Ron DeSanctimonious was a big lockdown man early on as governor. He locked it down, and other governors that were Republican of nature did not lock down. If you look at South Carolina and Tennessee and South Dakota and others, they didn't lock down, but Florida was locked down. He locked it down like you wouldn't believe. Remember, he closed the highways, he closed the beaches.
Well, we made a decision. People in Florida have a right to work. The businesses have a right to be open. Kids have a right to be in school, and we're not going to impose mask mandates or the like or vaccine mandates. And the minute we did that, we became the focal point for freedom in this country. Fauci was attacking everything Florida did. There
yes,
were other bureaucrats attacking us. The media was attacking us. I stood my ground. We stood in the breach. And the state of Florida is better as a result of that.
Okay. That was Governor DeSanctimonious of Florida.
Yes.
As is with a lot of politics, there are there is context to be added to almost everything any politician in the world has ever said, especially when they're talking about their opponent, because it's the idea mostly is to make their opponent look bad, and then therefore they benefit from
right
from that. My observation of this is, it is true. Well, first of all, I think grace should be extended to all of us with respect to the response to COVID early on.
Right.
And I'm talking the first maybe 3 to 6 months. After that, a lot of things became obvious what was going on in our country. It was more about government controlling people's lives and using COVID as an excuse. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay. Well, that was pretty weak, Steve. And
amen.
Okay.
Amen. We're
okay.
With you. We
right.
Hear you.
All right. So, President Trump, I give him a lot of grace on that period because the guy is in the White House rocking along, probably going to be reelected. I mean, I would think. Everything's going good, and here comes a bunch of people in white coats saying, you got to shut down the country.
Right.
And Trump's supposed to figure that out himself. He's a businessman. He sells.
And he's got, like you said, scientists coming and saying.
Yeah, he sells buildings.
Right.
For a living. And then he became president. See, he's not going to argue with the scientists, right? And Dr. Fauci comes in, and Burks. Anyway, all these people come in. Say, we got to lock everything down, shut everything down, or millions of people are going to die. That was what Trump was facing. So it's unfair to go back and say he should have done this or he should have done that early on.
Right.
Okay. Ray, you tracking with me right there?
100%.
100%. Okay.
In the first few months, nobody knew, right?
No.
Nobody knew.
No. And so now I think a lot of people did know that it wasn't going to be short-lived in terms of COVID because it was a virus, right?
Was it 3 weeks to flatten the curve?
Yeah,
that was, I don't know who came up with that, but exactly. But it wasn't going to be that long. It was going to be much longer. So, having said that, what happened in Florida in particular was Governor DeSantis followed the lead of President Trump and the scientists, like everybody else in the country did,
right,
for the most part, because we didn't know what was going to go on. We're watching TV, and people are dropping like flies in Italy.
Yeah.
Huh? You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And other parts of the world, and it was scary.
It was.
It was very scary. So what do you do when you get scary news? You follow the advice of the experts.
Right.
Because that's all you know to do.
Right.
Governor DeSantis, like President Trump, he was a congressman, and he was in the Navy, and whatever other background experiences he's had, but it wasn't in epidemiology. That. So he wasn't a scientist, so he's also trying to follow.
Right.
So he did, like almost everybody, lock down, shut down for the first few weeks, right?
Right.
But then, now here's where I criticize President Trump. He doesn't talk about this. He calls it, what did he call him? Sanctimonious what? Lockdown like never before?
Yeah.
What did he say a while ago? We played it.
Yeah, he said I guess he said lockdown like never before.
Or something like that. Okay. When Governor DeSantis, like you heard him say, figured out what was going on, then he quickly changed course.
Right.
He quickly changed course, like Brian Kemp did in Georgia and some other states, too.
Christy Noem.
In fact, I remember the day that Trump went after Brian Kemp in Georgia. This is before the whole election thing where they and Florida, and Trump was slamming them. He was saying, don't open. I told him, don't open. It's too early. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
So, and then, what I'm saying is, just I was trying to be fair to President Trump. I'm trying to be fair to Governor DeSantis. It is not fair for Trump to say he was locking down like never before. He doesn't tell you there that, yes, he did, like everybody else, for first few weeks or maybe a month or two.
I got the dates for you if you want.
But okay. But then, like DeSantis says, they became an example for the rest of the country, as were other states, like Georgia I mentioned, South Dakota, some other states began to open up more. People begin to realize this is all – a lot of this is about government controlling people's lives.
Yep.
So is that – do you think that's a
– No, I think – listen, I remember going to the grocery store, and we all do. You had to walk down aisles this way, come back on the other – going in the other direction, masks. And then when we got stuff home from where we were shopping, we wiped it all down. I mean, we were all living – in that kind of
environment,
and governors were no different. They were being told by the experts, you got to do it.
Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
On March 1, Florida got its 2020. Florida got its first official cases. They looked at it on April 1, exactly 1 month later. Governor DeSantis issued an executive order that restricted activities and shut things down. Now, by June, so April, May, June, so 2 months later, he had adopted a more targeted approach. As I'm reading this on the Fount of All Knowledge, Wikipedia, he adopted a more targeted approach to the pandemic, saying that we're not going to shut down. We're going to target the people that need it, the elderly and those vulnerable. Right.
You mean for protection.
The
virus, yeah.
And then by September, the end of September, they lifted all remaining capacity restrictions on businesses. And actually, he issued a law or a policy prohibiting local governments from enforcing public health orders, lockdowns.
And schools were open, weren't they?
And you know who was praising him? Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Donald Trump, the president, was praising Governor DeSantis, who at that time they would get along, right? They were friends.
Right.
Praising him left and right for his, after he criticized him for opening too early. And now President Trump wants to revisit this and say that he was governor lockdown. And I'm just saying there's context there that needs explaining. I don't know why President Trump is picking this particular fight with DeSantis, Governor DeSantis. And not to say that Governor DeSantis hadn't fired back.
Right.
But I don't know why he's doing this exactly, except they're political opponents. In this primary. But anyway, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Steve.
We've got two law decisions from judges in certain states that I think we need to talk about. One is in Arkansas, and one is a federal decision. Actually, it's about the federal government, so it's in Fort Worth, Texas, but it applies to the whole government. Let's start with Arkansas, where a judge, his name is Jay Moody, ruled that the law that they had in place, which limited gender mutilation surgery on kids, said that you were not going to operate or give drugs to kids. The judge said that that's unconstitutional. So he opened back up the medicine cabinet and the surgery knives to work on kids in Arkansas. Let me just read to you. I found this. This is what a doctor has said about the puberty blockers that they give to children. It stimulates the activities of a hormone. It shuts down the activities of the hypothalamus. That's the almond-sized structure in the brain. It's one of the most earliest structures in the brain that they have, the vestigial. It controls hormones in your body, your sexual development, your emotions, your fight or flight response, and everything. But it also is what allows you to stand in awe of beauty or a sunset, to hear the sounds of orchestral music and stop whatever you're doing and want to listen. This doctor says to shut down the system is to shut down what makes us human. That's what they're giving kids.
I would have to say that if this U.S. District Judge Jay Moody, I hope this decision will be overturned. I hope Little Rock will, Arkansas will appeal this. If the issue were a law prohibiting kids under 18, minors, from smoking cigarettes or getting tattoos without their parents' permission or those kind of things, I don't think it would have been struck down. I think this is a political decision by a federal judge, and he would not have ruled this way had the issue been anything other than the highly charged political issue of transgender transitioning.
The other court case that I think we should mention was a lawsuit that was brought in Texas, but it was challenging the Minority Business Development Agency of the federal government. When Biden came into office, he ordered an all-government approach to diversity, equity, and inclusion. And this Minority Business Development Agency was kind of the cornerstone of that. Judge Mark Pittman in Fort Worth, Texas, he said that that is unconstitutional, that the Constitution demands equal treatment under the law, and that this violates their the First and Fourth Amendment rights of Americans.
Yeah, basically it was providing opportunity, money and opportunity for groups based on race. So if you're a white group, you can't get this money through this organization. Isn't there also an affirmative action case before the Supreme Court that is supposed to be ruled on?
There may be. I haven't heard what's come down today. Okay. We're keeping an eye on that.
This going forward, all this with CRT and
this is
DEI, and I mean, this is all going to have to come to some sort of legal conclusion. And this decision here, I was happy to hear about it.
Yeah, it should apply to the whole of government approach to DEI. In other words, you shouldn't be able to do this.
Okay, y'all have reached your limit on three-letter organizations this
morning.
Okay, you're throwing around all kind of.
Well, unless you want to call the FBI.
That sounds like CIA. I teed that one up for you.
You did.
I?
You did.
All right, AFR, that's what you're listening to.
Yep.
See what I did there?
Oh, I like it. AFR.
Yeah.
Which is a division of AFA.
Yeah.
It is.
All right. Okay, you can go to KMB. No?
KMB?
KBM.
KBM.
What's KBM, Ray?
Keep believing.
Oh, there you go.
Keep believing Ministries.
That's us.
Read the Bible.
That's right.
And also, don't forget that Abraham Hamilton III will be on FOX, Fox News tonight on Laura Ingraham's program.
And then,
folks, this is going to be great. He's going to be talking about the ideology that has driven our education system all the way to the radical left.
I'm going to start a new three-letter organization. You know what it's going to be called?
What?
Save Bacon, America.
There you go, SBA.
Save Bacon, SBA.
SBA.
No one will confuse that with the government agencies.
Make me a founding member.
Okay, not Small Business Administration. We're getting rid of them.
That's right.
We're Save Bacon America.
That's right.
I'd like to be on the board of directors.
Okay.
I'm in.
I'm on Founder the test
circle.
The test committee.
And if bacon producers want to capture my vote,
you know what to do.
Send the bacon.
You know what to do.
Fry it and then dip it in chocolate and send it to me.
That's right.
Okay, thanks to everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.